Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever heard the phrase, life would be grand if it weren't for the people? It's not easy for us to get along with everyone, which is God's goal for us in life. His goal is for us to live together and serve together and love together, but people can disagree. They get angry with each other. And I'm thankful that such arguments are not a normal occurrence for our voters' meetings here at St. Paul. But unfortunately, that's not the case everywhere. So many churches can devolve into bickering and infighting over how we are supposed to be church in this world, or more commonly, over specific practices that we should use as we live and serve as a church. And how does that square with Paul's command in our epistle reading today from Romans chapter 14 that we are not to quarrel over opinions? How are we to live together as God's people in this life? That is our question. Now, as we discuss Paul's words in Romans 14, there is an important concept that we need to understand first, which will help us as we wrestle with this question of living together without passing judgment on our fellow believers. That concept is the term adiaphora, which is a church term for things that are neither commanded by God nor forbidden by him in Scripture. There are some issues on which God speaks clearly. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not give false testimony. All of those things that are written on the two tablets that I was showing the kids before, the Ten Commandments, that is 100% without question where God speaks clearly. On such matters, Christians can and must stand with and stand on the Word of God. God's Word cannot be ignored when God speaks clearly. There are other issues, however, where Scripture is not quite as clear. When Scripture is silent, or when Scripture can be understood in a couple of different ways, those are places where Christians can and often do disagree. Disagreements which can become heated and lead to anger and hurt feelings, which is why it is so important for us in the church to talk about these things, to discuss them openly, and to talk in a way that will lead to understanding. So Paul gives a couple of examples of what adiaphora means in verses 2-6, where he says, one person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. Let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? Verse 5, one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord. Whatever we do in honor of the Lord. And so these two examples, eating or worship, eating whether or not to follow the Jewish dietary laws is the specific issue that Paul has in mind, whether or not it's okay to eat bacon cheeseburgers, essentially, or the question of worship days, whether to worship on the Sabbath day, Saturday, or worship on the Lord's day, which is Sunday, when the Lord rose from the dead. But There are many other examples that we can point to in the church as far as how we are to, as far as places where scripture isn't as clear. What kinds of instruments should we use in worship services? Some churches will say that you cannot use any musical instrument, you must simply use voice. Some churches say that it must only be an organ. Some churches will use drums and guitars. And some churches like ours will use all of the above. What does scripture say on this question? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. So any instrument can be used. But does that mean that any specific instrument can't be used or must be used? That's where the disagreement comes in. Or else the question of when we should worship. Should it be 9 a.m.? Should it be 10:30, 6? There are some churches that will accept any and all changes in their worship service, except it must be 11 o'clock in the morning. The Bible only says that we must gather together as God's people for worship, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. It doesn't say that we have to do it at a specific time or even on a specific day. Some churches, it's Sunday. Some have a Saturday evening service. Some even have Monday or Thursday services. Or else the question, should a church building have stained glass? Some churches do. I don't see any stained glass in here. Is there anything in scripture to mandate whether or not we should have specific types of Christian art? No. Good, faithful, believing Christians can and do disagree on all of these questions. And there's nothing wrong with such disagreement as long as it is in the context of all being believing followers of Jesus who are working together within that family. Christians can disagree on matters of adiaphora. Paul, however, warns us against taking such as an opportunity to pass judgment on another. In explaining why we shouldn't judge one another, Paul calls us all servants of the Lord. That if one is a servant, then to whom do they owe their allegiance? To whom are they accountable? Is it to their fellow servant, or is it to their master? In our in Jesus' parable, our gospel reading, the servants are concerned. Do they pass judgment on their fellow servant? Or do they go to their master? All of us as servants of God will have to give an account to God for the way that we have acted in our lives. That means that it's not my responsibility to judge someone else based on their actions. They're not accountable to me or to you or to any humans for what they do. Ultimately, we are all accountable to God. In other words, what Paul is saying is that I need to focus on my own problems, my own issues, rather than focus on those of someone else. As Jesus said, why should we care about the speck in our brother's eye when there's a log in your own eye. Now, if it is not something on which God's word is crystal clear, then perhaps it would be better for me to give the other person the benefit of the doubt, trust their conscience, instead of holding them accountable to my conscience. But if it is something on which God's word speaks, then how do I respond? Should I judge them for what they do, or would it be better to speak to them first about this thing on which God's word is crystal clear. Speaking to one another and seeking to grow together, this is what is important for our faith. This is how we grow together, how we live together as God's people, is speaking to one another, bearing one another's burdens, showing love and compassion to one another. Now, having said all of this, as a church, we are responsible for speaking God's truth clearly. If someone is acting or living in a way which is clearly contrary to God's will, then I need to say something, not to judge them, but to warn them. Don't think of this as condemning the person for what they do, for being such a terrible, unforgivable person. That's what Paul is specifically warning us against here. No, instead, we are not to pass judgment, that is, condemn our brothers in the faith. That is God's responsibility. Instead, think of this as teaching, educating on what is right and wrong. The focus is on the action, why the action is wrong, not on the person doing it. Showing that, or explaining and speaking of what God's word has said as far as how we are to live. It's something that you don't do because, that I don't do this because I'm better than them, but because we are all sinners in need of repentance, to acknowledge and seek repentance for our sins. Ultimately, as we live to the Lord because we are the Lord's, which living to the Lord means focusing our effort and our attention on the things that are pleasing to the Lord, receiving and hearing his word gladly, gathering together as his people for worship, receiving the sacraments that he has instituted for us, living together as his people set apart by him for his purposes, doing all of those things that are pleasing to him, which includes showing God's love to those around us. So then, what does this mean for us specifically as members of St. Paul Lutheran Church here in Sanford, Michigan? It means that we bear with one another, showing love to those who may be weaker in the faith. After all, you never know, you might be the one who is with the weaker faith. We serve one another with our words and our actions. We seek to understand God's word together, gathering together around Scripture, both in worship, in Bible study, in family and personal devotions, so that when there is a disagreement, we look for understanding in God's word rather than acting on our own. So in summary, our reading today from Romans 14 means that we are the Lord's, not our own. We will all have to give an account to God in the end, not just for the way that we live, but for the way that we live together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Do we make mistakes? Do we sin against one another in the church? Yes, of course. We are, after all, human, living in a sin-filled world, struggling against our own sinful nature. That is the danger of living in this sin-darkened world. We do sin. We do struggle. We get short-tempered and angry with one another. But in the end, we cannot forget who we are and whose we are. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to God. We do not live for ourselves. We live to God. He is the one who called us. He is the one who redeems and sanctifies us to be his people. That also means living together with all of those that he has likewise called, redeemed, and sanctified. Showing his love to one another, bearing with one another, serving one another, seeking to live together in harmony. Because, after all, to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.